The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn
Beck. So much to the, I would think, chagrin of my friends and chagrin of his friends, we are friends. Eric Liu, he is the founder and CEO of Citizen University, also the executive director of the Aspen Institute Citizenship and American Identity Program. He's from Seattle. I don't think I need to say anything else. He's from Seattle. We don't necessarily agree on everything. But we have become friends because we both are trying to find sane ways to have conversations with each other and other people, or we're doomed. We're doomed. Welcome. How are you?
Glenn, it's great to be back. It's great to see
How's Seattle?
Seattle is, it's beautiful. It's it's thriving. It's booming. It's and you know, you grew up in the area.
I know. I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't think gorgeous. I'd be welcome there anymore. I don't think I was welcome there 10 years ago, let alone today.
Well, we'll follow up and bring you back together, and we'll do something in Seattle.
Yeah, good. I'd love to. So, would you agree with me that both sides, to one degree or another, have become unhinged on the extreme edges?
Yeah, I think our politics today, and especially if you spend more than 10 minutes on social media, is about voices on the unhinged extremes.
Yeah.
And it's about this pattern that plays out over and over where each extreme has to gin it up in order to feed the rage and the anger about the other side's extreme.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is our politics as it's mediated, you know, especially through social media.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we were talking about this before we went on air. There is a broad swath of, you know, sane people, call them, you know, interested bystanders, people who aren't super active in politics, super active in commenting on politics, who just want to understand each other and who just want to fix stuff.
Yeah.
And some of them are as progressive as I am, and some of them are as libertarian as you are, and many of them are in all points between, but they're not interested in the game playing and the posturing that so much of national politics is about today.
Yeah, we're making everything about politics now. Absolutely everything is about politics, and we're not going to survive that. That's nuts. The story today came out on Sports Illustrated. They just did a swimsuit issue that doesn't have any swimsuits. All of the women are completely naked, and they're beautiful women. One is lying down naked, face up, with the word "truth" painted on her rib cage. Another one is naked with "feminist" emblazoned on her arm. The other is the daughter of Christie Brinkley that is staring at the camera, laying on her side with the word "progress" written across her back. And they've put this. I don't understand this. This is Sports Illustrated, a magazine for men, trying to say, see, we shouldn't objectify women. I don't understand that.
Yeah, there's a lot that is great fundamentally about the Me Too movement and the fact that our society is waking up to shifting norms on what's okay when it comes to actually treating women with respect.
Yes.
Right? But I do not look to Sports Illustrated as my moral guide on the objectification of women.
How do we find a way... And tell me what your feelings are on the people that you know, on the dangers. Even Margaret Atwood brought this up: the dangers of these kangaroo courts, or just not even a kangaroo court. Just you're guilty and you're done if anybody accuses you.
The danger is there, but I think actually as a society we're navigating it right now. I mean, this is somewhat uncharted, right? It's not like the society has tried before to have deep equity between men and women on who gets to harass whom. We've never done that before. We're having a society-wide reckoning. Are there going to be cases where people abuse the power that comes with that? Sure. But are our institutions and are the leaders in our institutions fundamentally trying to reckon with that in good faith? I actually think we are, right? And even this kind of absurd Sports Illustrated cover is a sign that, you know, one thing you can say about Sports Illustrated is They're trying to tune into the zeitgeist. They are aware of the marketplace, right? And they know the zeitgeist is, you got to be on the right side of this issue, right?
Right.
And that's right.
But if I did photos of naked women and put, you know, hashtag me too, I don't think I'd get the
question is one of, you know, in the law, they talk about standing. Do you have standing to make a case, right? Yeah. During the Super Bowl, we all watched the ads and stuff. I didn't think Dodge Ram trucks had the moral standing to use an MLK speech about the dangers of commercialism to sell trucks. To me, that was, and to lots of Americans, that was, you know what? message and messenger not aligned here. Right?
You mean the MLK message?
Yeah.
Okay, so the MLK message, may I present an opposite point of view? That's a sermon that most Americans have never heard, was really good. I agree with you that, you know, the images of the truck coming in halfway and you're like, okay, that's really, you don't need that. Just a simple Dodge at the end would have been perfect.
Would have been great.
However, I have had more email on a monologue that I did on forgiveness, and I used that sermon the very next day. I've had more email on that from people who woke up. I mean, so you can't necessarily reject it as universally bad that they did it, because it did affect people.
Well, I mean, look, Sports Illustrated was trying to do something like the right thing. But to, the equivalent would have been, had they had a cover, they said, if they said, this year's swimsuit issue, here's what it looks like. And it was a black cover that just said, we're taking some responsibility for feeding this culture in which women are treated like objects, in which men feel they have permission to treat women like objects. We own a piece of that.
And it would be the lowest selling.
That would be a powerful statement. That would be,
And I don't know.
Writing it on naked women's bodies doesn't seem quite
as powerful. It'd be low selling as a swimsuit issue, but it would. But the whole country would be talking about it.
Yes, that's
talking
true.
About Sports Illustrated.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. That's true. So who have you found, Eric? You know, I have been looking for a while, looking for people like you that we don't necessarily agree, but we can have really good conversations and we can move things forward together.
Mm-hmm.
Who have you found on the left or in the media that is really willing to do that?
You know, and I'm not sure if she's been a guest on your show, but my friend Neera Tanden.
Nope.
Who runs the Center for American Progress. So
big
progressive think tank that I know you cross swords with. Right?
Yeah.
But Neera is both able and willing to have conversations with anybody and to have them in ways that aren't just about the made-for-TV food fight, that are really trying to say, what's your deal, right? What are you getting at here?
I really feel one of the biggest problems is nobody's listening at all.
Yeah.
Nobody feels heard right now. The somehow or another, the left, which still controls most of the media, doesn't feel heard. And the right, now that they control the House and the Senate, and that they don't feel heard. And it's because nobody is actually I guess emoting what the average person is feeling right now. You know, we're all scared. It's amazing. I saw a YouTube video of a liberal talking about how afraid she was that Donald Trump was going to build concentration camps. And it was in a room, probably had 1,000 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they all were like, yeah, yeah. And I remember I debunked the lie about Obama making concentration camps because that was a big deal.
Big conspiracy theory.
Big conspiracy. I was called a conspiracy theorist for debunking that conspiracy theorist that theory. And now the other side is feeling the same kind of fear that so many Americans did when they didn't trust the president. And I think this is a moment where we can wake up and say, see, this is why the president should never have this much power. The president should not be able to affect our lives to the point to where we're afraid of him.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I think there's one lesson that people on the left are learning today, and that is the dangers of this imperial presidency, right? Which is not a Trump phenomenon or even an Obama phenomenon.
No,
it's been
going
back half
time.
A century at least, right?
Yeah, yeah.
At least since World War II, right? The concentration of power in the executive, right?
Yep.
But I think I want to go back to something you were saying about listening and being heard, right? We live in this time right now where there is, and we've talked about this, there's so much pain. There's so much pain. The segment you were doing right before the break, in which you were just speaking to a human, an individual, about the pain they are feeling in their journey. And you were tying it to the pain that you have felt at various points on your journey, right? That kind of conversation, which is both about listening, but it's about, I'm not just listening to the words you're saying and to the points you're making. I'm trying to listen underneath to the emotional currents there. That's a set of habits that nobody's modeling for us in national politics, and that we as citizens, frankly, it's gotten easier for us basically to shed those habits because nothing in our daily lives rewards that, right? Social media doesn't reward that.
The media doesn't reward that, right?
And so we've got to actually build experiences where we see each other face to face again. You know, if we were having this conversation by phone, this would be different. But I'm looking you in the eye right now, Glenn, and I'm looking in at you as you have spoken about these questions. And there's a human connection here that I can't now just call you a nut job and call you a this and call you a that. Like, we've connected on some level, right? Doesn't mean we're going to agree on the issues, but it means that I'm not going to demonize. And I think the deepest ill in our politics is how we've forgotten how to rehumanize each other.
It's so funny. I was just, or just wrote a member of the press this morning, a private conversation that dealt with that. I said, we are calling each other subhumans exactly the way the early, you know, 1920s Nazis were starting to train people that you're subhuman. If you don't agree with me, you're subhuman. And we're training each other that way. But it doesn't. Social media is not the only one that doesn't reward it. Media doesn't reward it either. I mean, if you're not going to call somebody a nut job or a Nazi, you don't win, and they don't put you on. And you, Stu, was it you yesterday that said that you had seen somebody say, no, well, on the surface, this means X and X. And the guy was like, no, but that's... Tell the story.
It was an interview about some controversial comment that had gone on in the media. And they had brought someone on to kind of answer for it in the typical kind of cable news back and forth. And that was essentially the way they went when the person was pushing back against it. They said, yeah, but you got to admit on the surface, it's an insult. And it's like, well, isn't the point here as human beings that we go beyond the surface, that we think a little bit deeper about these things?
Yeah.
Because we can all get frustrated at the surface of it. We can all find the worst possible intent of a comment and turn it into something that's going to enrage our side. But that shouldn't be our goal.
So Eric, how do we do that?
Well, it starts with something that I actually want to give you guys credit for, which is you got to put something at risk, right? When you started a couple of years ago saying, I own my piece of how our politics and our political culture have gotten toxic. And I've decided I want to be part of the solution. I want to start reaching out and having conversations across different divides, right? You put a bunch of stuff at risk. You feel it acutely, right? You feel it every day. You put, I don't have to name it, right? It's not just about the business side of things and the listeners and the sponsors or whatever. I'm talking about just reputational power and so forth, right? You put stuff at risk. And I often ask myself and I ask my friends who are left of center, what are we willing to put at risk in order to change this politics, in order to go a little deeper beyond the surface and beyond just this throwing of flames at each other, right? So number one, it's being willing, and I want to name the fact that you all have started something and set in motion a different cycle of responsibility taking rather than responsibility shirking, right?
Thank you.
There is only one way to break the cycle of dehumanization and responsibility shirking, and that is to break it.
Yeah.
That is to be, you know, say, you know what? I didn't start it. I'm not the one to blame, but darn it, I'm actually just going to say, I'm stopping right now and I'm trying to change direction here, go a little deeper, rehumanize. And yeah, I may pay some price for that, but this is a question of purpose.
As one of the famous poets said, we didn't start the fire.
It was Billy Joel in Stop It.
It was always
a poet. Yes, yeah, indeed. Yeah,
so what do your friends say to you when you say, what are we willing to lose? What are we willing to, what chip are we willing to put up?
Let me tell you about something we've been doing at Citizen University. We, for the last year plus now, year and a quarter, we've been doing these regular gatherings that we call Civic Saturday. And these are basically a civic analog to church. It's not church, it's not synagogue or mosque, but it's about American civic religion, right? The stuff that you and I as civic nerds are steeped in, right? I mean, understanding the language and the texts and the what you might think of as civic scripture, whether that's from the Declaration or the Preamble or King's Speeches or Susan B. Anthony or whatever it might be, and understanding that we have all inherited this body of values and text and idea, and we do these gatherings with the arc of a faith gathering. We sing together. You turn to the stranger next to you. You talk about a common question. There are readings of these texts. There's a sermon that I've been giving. And then afterwards, there's more song. And then there's an hour afterwards where people kind of form up in circles and talk about what are we going to do together, right? And I go at length to tell you about this because, number one, it's been amazing how people have responded to this. There is this need across the left and the right, whether you are traditionally religious or not. There is this need in our political life for a space where we can come together and rehumanize, right? Number one. But number two, when in that space, I've said to folks in these sermons what I said here, which is we've got to be willing to take risks. We've got to be willing to ask ourselves, what are we willing to put on the line? And people sit there for a minute because they haven't been asked slash challenged to do that in a long time, right? All of our political leadership is about, let me indulge you. Let me indulge your worst instincts. Yep. Yep. Let me indulge you. Not what can you do and maybe even give up a little bit in order to start solving the problem, right? And that leads to different kinds of conversations. And frankly, not all of them are about Trump or national politics. A lot of these conversations then come to life in our city, which is changing dramatically right now.
That's
right?
What it should come down to in the first place. Eric, we're going to continue our conversation at 5 o'clock tonight on the Glenn Beck program. He has written a book, You're More Powerful Than You Think. His name is Eric Liu, and we'll have more tonight at 5 o'clock. Make sure you join us on theblaze.com/TV.
Glenn Beck.
Eric Liu is a fascinating guy because he is to the left and somebody that I don't agree with a lot of things on, but you can have a decent conversation with him. And it is fascinating to me, and we're going to show video of this tonight, that what he's doing in Seattle is going over the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. For somebody on the left to even recognize the Declaration of Independence as a functioning and important document in today's world is something that Woodrow Wilson did everything in his power to stop.
Oh, he hated it.
He hated it.
The Declaration.
Yeah, if you miss the Declaration of Independence, you can change anything. And that was Woodrow Wilson's goal. And he was just talking to us off the air that, you know, he said, we read these things, and he said, we have people who are crying when they're reading them. And that's not something that you expect to hear from somebody who is on the left. That's interesting, because the one thing that I have said for a long time, the thing that we agree on, what unites us, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, that unites us. You know, give me the first 10 Bill of Rights. If you can't agree with at least 8 of those, well, then we have nothing to talk about. Mm-hmm. But we center ourselves there.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, last night on the television program, and we will have it, if you are a subscriber, please watch it. It's last night's TV show. If you if you're not a subscriber, please subscribe and support The Blaze. Otherwise, today I am releasing yesterday and the day before's TV section on this, and I'm going to put it up on our The Blaze YouTube channel so you can watch it, and please spread it to all of your friends. I was talking about how the Russians have put together this nice little Nazi group, and it is infecting all countries around the world in the Western Alliance. They have funded, brought these people together for a giant convention. They are they're not just advising them. For instance, stay away from National Socialist. Call yourself like Britain first. Call yourself America first. They are advising them and they are funding them. And last night I said, look, this is really important for you to understand because it shows, A, what the Russians are actually doing, and their stated goal is to fund these groups, pay for social media campaigns with the intent of dividing people racially so it will collapse each nation and break apart the Western alliance. That's the stated goal. And I said last night, you have to know about it because of Russia, but more importantly, because it is here and the media will not they will not care. A conservative is a conservative. And this is the world national conservative movement. It is not about the world and it is not about conservatives. It's about nationalism, national socialist. Listen to what happened today on CNN. Can we play the, what was the name of this guy, Stu? Arthur Jones.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we've played some of the clips today. Maybe number three would be a good one.
Okay.
Because this is where he really kind of gets into his belief system here.
Mr. Jones,
the Democrats and Republicans know that the cursed two-party, Jew-party, queer-party system can't stand
language. And the fact that you deny the Holocaust, you are entitled
the Holocaust.
Listen,
it's an extortion racket.
You
pure
are
and simple.
Entitled to
and
your own
if you did any investigation, if you did
theories.
Any honest and... If you did any honest investigation of the Holocaust, you'd realize that it is nothing but an international extortion racket by the Jews to bleed, blackmail, extort, and terrorize their enemies.
Yeah.
And to suck us into one war after another in the Mideast.
Yeah.
I was not campaigning as a National Socialist. I was campaigning as a Republican. Uh-huh. I was a campaign on the one issue that's on everybody's mind, and that's to avoid war in the Middle East.
Okay.
We need more wars.
Sure.
No, we don't need more wars.
Fine,
we need
I understand,
more jobs.
And you call, well, I don't even want to quote you, but here's the deal. Here, you can have your own conspiracy theories, but you can't have your own facts.
Not conspiracy theories, it's a fact.
Mr. Jones,
the Jews controlled basically the country,
Jews
the Congress,
were killed.
The economy,
Adolf
the media.
Adolf Hitler perpetrated a genocide, the Auschwitz death camp existed, and the Nuremberg trial
poppycock.
Happened. Those are the
it's
facts,
poppycock.
Sir. Either way, here's the larger point.
It's a scam.
Fine.
Here,
you're on the record. You've said
Ford's
that you don't
records,
believe
ma'am.
The Holocaust.
Ford's records of Holocaust survivors are getting special Social Security benefits.
I'm glad
stop.
That you're...
Stop.
Wow.
Okay, so why did CNN have this on? They did not have it to expose him. They had it because... or to stop him. There is no chance of him winning. He is going to win the GOP primary because the GOP cannot field a single candidate to stand up with the platform, I'm not that guy. So he's going to win the nomination of the GOP party. He's running as a Republican. So why did CNN have him on? Not to stop him, but to show people that that's what conservatives are. That's what the GOP is. This is why we have to be the one. The people that should be having this man on is Fox News. The people that should be having him on, exposing him for who he is and making sure that everyone understands he is not a conservative, a national socialist. A socialist has nothing to do with the GOP. Well, I can't say that. A national socialist doesn't. I'm sure there's a few socialists in the GOP. That's the problem. The progressives started out as liberals, then they were progressive, and now they're taking the mask off and they are socialists. Because that's who they were when they were socialists and said, we can't do socialist. We can't say we're communist because that implies a revolution. So we want those same ideals, but we don't want a revolution on the street. So we'll call ourselves progressives. Wilson scared the crap out of people and progressive became a bad name. So FDR changed it to liberal. Once liberal was found to be communist loving, socialist loving, they had to change that to progressives, which means nothing until you get down to the real policies. And now they're taking off their mask and saying they're socialists. Republicans, have you been wearing a mask? Are you a national socialist? Because the national socialists are coming out. And I think the Republican Party and every conservative needs to say, that has nothing to do with me. I reject all of their ideas, not just the racial ideas, but the socialist ideas. That's important. Pat.
Yes, I agree with that, what you said.
You agree with the National Socialists?
No.
Oh, sorry.
The things Glenn was saying.
About them. Okay.
It's interesting because at that speech that she shows a little bit of, it says National Socialist right behind him. It's kind of hard to hide from that.
I know, but you notice everybody's just talking about his racism.
I know.
Nobody's talking about the socialism part.
I know.
We have to reject both of those.
And how did CNN handle it when we showed you who the Black Panthers were? Oh, stop it. There's only a few of them.
Yeah,
God,
right.
Come on. Mm-hmm. They got no power. But man, do they show the Nazis now?
Yeah.
Like they're the biggest group in America.
And the same thing will be said. We had a problem with the president having allies like the Black Panthers, giving them special passes and looking the other way when they would do things. Mm-hmm. We had a problem with that. Well, I'm consistent. I have a problem with people like Steve Bannon giving a pass to National Socialists. They're both radicals. Mm-hmm. No administration of the United States of America should give those guys any kind of special room on either side, period.
And from the beginning, we disavowed the Robert Spencers and
Richard, yeah.
And Richard Spencer,
You've disavowed him so much, you've changed his name.
I changed his name, that's how much. Yeah.
Well, this is his older brother who's far worse.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Yeah. And so I think we've been pretty consistent on that.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, I mean, currently right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are in the middle of their parade, which is going down the same street where the guy said, I want to kill DaBabies, and I hate every iota of a cracker. The same exact street.
Wow.
And it's like, here we are. Like, at that time, the media wouldn't even draw any attention to those things. When we see people on the left were responsible for attempting to blow up a bridge in Ohio, there was almost just a police report. There was basically no connection at all.
You could say that. You could say that. Did you know that Occupy Wall Street? They tried to blow up the main bridge in. It was Cleveland. Was it Cincinnati? I think it was Cleveland. I'm not sure. I think it was Cleveland. I'm making my own point.
Right.
Most people won't remember because it wasn't covered. It was Occupy Wall Street. So you had radicals in Occupy Wall Street, and you had government officials and Hollywood officials going down and being a part of that. And we said, that's not what you think it is. They didn't care. They didn't care. Can you imagine some government officials and Hollywood people going down and being a part of a American First party, and somebody saying, hey, you don't want to be there. Ah, you know what? You're crazy. Well, they would never do that. Why did they do it before? Because they don't care. It's all about winning. And anyone who tells you not to care about the Nazis or not to care about the Occupy Wall Street radicals that were there, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. Those are outliers.
I noticed you didn't mention the dangerous and violent Tea Party. I mean, with the zero arrests at their rallies and the fact that they left places cleaner than when they got there. I noticed you didn't mention that violent group.
Well, no, because none
I mean,
of that
convenient. It's convenient, Glenn. Everybody knows. Yeah, I mentioned that's all they cared about was stupid things like targeting districts and all that. When on the other hand, they're ignoring actual violence.
Well, Berkeley.
Yeah,
they're not ignoring it. They are praising it. You have people on Capitol Hill that are praising the people that were burning and looting and breaking things in Berkeley, California.
Mm-hmm.
You have Donnie Deutsch coming out this week saying, we need a revolution. And I don't mean a political revolution. We need people out in the streets. We need a revolution. This is tyranny. That guy's becoming a dictator. Are you kidding me? I know what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking to me, I just said to Stu the other day, I'm having a really hard time.
Jesus.
Is it what you're thinking?
It's an amazing struggle Glenn is going through, because all the things that you said for, you know, the past 10 years or whatever it was, you know, you're seeing the blatant hypocrisy by 90% of the media,
yeah,
who are now complaining about the same types of things you were complaining about.
And I'm still complaining about those same things now on our side.
On both sides, right?
It's both sides.
And they dismissed it before, and now all of a sudden they're all freaked out about it. And I can understand your instinct, right, to just want them to admit that for the past decade.
Just admit it.
But then your better angels, I guess, are trying to convince you in a terrible, losing battle that you maybe should just let that go.
Yeah. Yeah, so far I haven't.
It's hard, isn't it? It's hard.
I think this is what the big struggle in America is.
Yeah,
it's so hard. And you know, I said to a friend of mine, I said, and you know what? Right now, we went through this pain first, okay, under Obama, being spooked out of our mind and then being called all kinds of names, okay? Then Trump gets in. Now it's their turn.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through this pain now, which is making it so much harder of really? Oh, really? Now you care?
Yeah.
Okay, that's only going to fester.
Now you're frightened?
Right.
When we said we were frightened, we were extremists and racists.
We were told to get over it. You guys had special classes, and some schools even let out the day after the election because everyone was so upset. Please don't start with me.
Oh.
So I have that festering, and I have to find a way to lance that, and we all do, because here's what's going to happen. They're behind us by 4 years or 8 years. They're going to say those things when their guy gets in and he's worse than this guy. They're going to come in and go, oh, really? Now you care? We have got
That's exactly what's
going to
happen.
Exactly right. And it's going to get much worse, much worse. And nobody's going to listen to each other. And everybody's just going to want to rip each other's heads off. And I'm trying to find a way where I can let that go.
Oh, it seems like you're winning the battle. What do you think, Pat?
No,
you're doing a good job with
I can feel the love tonight.
Glenn Beck.
I got some comments on Pat's dance moves that we posted yesterday. You missed it. He may hate it, but he sure looks like he's practiced his moves. Vicky Johnston wrote in, I'm happy to see that Pat's back pain was not preventing him from busting a move. He did bust some other things. Jeanette, awesome moves, Pat. I can tell you you wanted to keep it up through the rest of the shoot. I don't know if that's true. Well, he might have, but the rest of us did. Oh, my gosh. We're just showing video of it now on the Blaze TV, and that's disturbing. Very disturbing.
A couple of other stories.
Yeah.
Bermuda has become the first country in the world to repeal same-sex marriage.
Yeah. They didn't pass it. They were told by the EU Britain that they had to.
But they had it. I mean,
Yes. And they repealed it. It's a very conservative country.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Bermuda? Have you ever spent any time there?
Yes.
And it's a really, I mean, it's unbelievably nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. A little weird, you know, dangerous with the triangle thing, but.
No, that's not a thing.
No, it's
No.
I couldn't find it.
So it sort of like closes down, I would say, at about 7 p.m.
Yes, it
There's
does.
Like nothing else going on.
Yes,
like,
it does.
Yeah, they're like, that's about it. You can maybe go to a restaurant post 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Like, so I don't know. Maybe it's kind of, they are apparently a pretty conservative nation.
Yeah, that's very.
But they're keeping civil unions or something similar to that.
Yeah.
Just not actual.
Here's an idea. Marriage. Let's get the government out of marriage.
No,
entirely.
Glenn.
How
will people know that they're married if the government doesn't tell them?
Because they're going to have their priest or their, you know, judge or whoever can say you're married. Get them out of the marriage business. That's
Glenn
the way
Beck,
to make everybody
Mercury
work together.